Ladies and gentlemen, please, lock your doors, pull your curtains and douse your lights. Come, drop to the fire, as we go live to the Shuru embers of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
In case you haven't heard, the world is going to end in 2012.
a priest, a rabbi, and a minister walk into a bar that...
Call me Wolfgang!
It's almost inconceivable how much damage this event will cause.
Johnny Bravo!
Look at it.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I'm interested.
It's the freakiest looking thing I've ever seen.
So,
sex, and this was the result. It's a tube-nosed fruit bat.
It's been a Demon Hunter show.
My God, man, this is just an incredible looking creature.
The end is near! We are all gonna die!
We ain't backing down.
Live from the G&D studios, inspiring future generations of ghost hunters to think for themselves, the original bad boys of the paranormal, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes, indeedy. This is the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Welcome back, everybody. I am the Ghostman, Sean B.
And that would leave me being somebody else.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't think tonight was going to go, guys. This is February 27th, 2011 broadcast of our show.
Yes, it is.
Yes. The it was going to be our first video, Nate.
It was going to be our first video. And, you know, it came down to the fact that I don't know enough about video yet to take it to the next level. So Sean and I are going to, this week, take some time, learn the video system. And if you see, there's a beta system up on the top of our new webpage, thanks to our buddy Ken. He put the beta system up there because we had every intention of bringing you video tonight. And, I just don't know what I'm doing. So,
I could not grab any beer on the way into the studio tonight because I was literally running. I was just on the phone with you 10 minutes ago, and I was running back from the store.
Yep.
And apparently nobody had a special thanks to the guys at the video store. I want to say thank you for, you know, letting me buy a digital video recorder and not giving me a power supply with the thing. Thank you so much. I'm proud to be here in this in this country and to work with you guys. You guys are sweet. Thank you.
They had you in mind, Sean. What can you do?
Yeah, they did. My money's great, I guess. Hey, I got a good deal on the camera, I guess. I know why now. You can't turn it on. Idiots, man. I tell you. Hey, tonight's guest anyway, guys. Author Patrick H.T. Doyle, our Irish brother. Name of the book, Next. I can't talk. I'm going through this whole bottle of wine tonight. This whole bottle is going to be gone. Dude.
Not that we drink on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. We would never do that.
I drink heavy. Next Rest Stop Earth, the new book by Patrick H.T. Doyle.
Oh, yes. And I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I mean, I love the Ed Kerfunk books, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's doing with this and what it's all about, and giving everybody a chance to hear about it. It's
Dude, moments before I came on the show, I mean, I was literally 15 minutes until we went live, and I'm running. I'm out at the gas station. I'm doing something. I was just getting back from looking for a universal, you know, DC adapter or something for the camera, for we could try to go up for the guys tonight, but. So anyway, I turned down this road over by the gas station, and they're having terrible road construction, everything else. I'm sure it's everywhere. And anyway, it's supposed to be a 6-week deal. It's taken a year and a half. So anyway, I'm turning. There's a cop there picking his nose and playing on his data computer thing in his car. And good to know where my tax money was going there. But you know, everybody knows I used to be a sheriff's deputy. Well, all of a sudden he throws his hands up when I turn the corner. He's like, what are you doing, stupid, kind of thing, with his hands up. So I stop. I had enough, man. This was it. I got the camera home. It didn't work. Everybody was being a-holes today. And this guy is police officer, which I have the utmost respect for. But this guy throws his hands up at me, Nathan, like I'm an idiot. So I roll my window down. I'd like to have a conversation with him about why I can't turn the way he would like me to turn. I had to go to the other lane and turn. Yeah. Nothing illegal, mind you, here. He was copying an attitude. And
he was copying one?
I said, yeah, copy. I said, what would you like? You know, what do you need? You're flagging me down. You're raising your hands. I knew what he wanted. He wanted to be a real swell guy. So he goes, well, I could write you a ticket. You're turning the wrong way or whatever. And I said, listen, man. I said, if you look close enough, the lane that you're supposed to turn has construction sandbags laying all the way across it. Now, would you like me to turn and you'd be working a property damage report on my accident on my Cobalt when I wreck it into the sandbags over there? And he's like, well, since you're copying an attitude, I could write you a ticket. And I said, well, how about I write you a ticket? How about a citizen's arrest ticket? How about that? How about I arrest you? And I mean, I'm talking to this guy. So finally, I'm not backing down because I respect the law, but sometimes they need to respect us too. So I go to get back there. He goes to get back in his car and he says, he pulls his flashlight out. You can see he was all flustered. And he said, good night, sir. And the only thing I could think of, Nate, was, I said, good night, sir. And I said that as I rolled up my window and cruised off, man. I said, good night, sir.
You know, we don't have to talk about what we did this week. We could just talk about this day. It's,
yeah, so if you're out there, Mr. Police Officer, I love the cops because I used to be one. But you, I'll make a special exception for you. Thank you. Have a great night. Here's something for you. You can't see it, but it's real special.
Well, next week you can see it when we're on video.
Yes. We gotta watch that next week. What? Then I burn it through a bottle of wine, dude. How am I gonna do that? And usually I have the Coke bottle down here in the studio.
You know, it's funny, Sean. One day, you know, the G&D show will be back up on terrestrial radio and we'll have to go back to saying, not that we ever drink on the show.
We're at one time on a radio called Terrestrial.
Well, terrestrial radio is when radio is broadcast over regular radio stations.
I thought it was one of the name of many broadcast networks.
When we were on Omnisound, he would shuffle our stuff out to small other stations that picked up his broadcasts.
I like to call it Celestial Radio.
Celestial Radio? Well, we'll change the name of the show, Sean. Because remember, Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is just a working title.
Right, we were going to be Purgatory, remember? Purgatory Radio.
Purgatory and Limbo Radio. And
Limbo, I still like it. It rolls off the tongue.
The Spectre Agenda. And we were going to... we went through a lot of them, yeah. Finally, Sean said, there's got to be a name that we could use just for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Why don't we use Ghostman and Demon Hunter?
And Chrissy P. looked over and said, well, why don't you just say Ghostman and Demon Hunter?
Yeah. So tonight's guest, Patrick H.T. Doyle. This is like one of his, what, fourth books or something?
I think this is his fourth full-length book, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, hey, I bought a mandolin this weekend.
You did. You bought the mandolin.
I bought the mandolin. I failed at guitar. Well, I got some guitar. And I failed at banjo. So now I'm going. One day I will learn a traditional Irish, you know, lick on one of these. On one of these instruments.
I've heard from many of your fans, Sean, the female fans, that you know a traditional Irish lick.
Well, I do. Sometimes. So how'd your weekend go? I just had excitement. It's been pretty
great. It's been crazy. I went to see I posted on Facebook on Friday night. I went to see a play called Talk Radio.
Yes, I see.
It was all. It's all about the late 1980s, an anarchist radio host who, you know, basically the whole thing is you call in, complain about something, and he tells you you're wrong. You know, one guy could call in and say, you know, that racism is wrong, or that you know, all people are racist or whatever, and he'll tell you you're wrong. And then the next person calls in and says nobody's racist. He'll tell them they're wrong, and he just tells everybody they're wrong. That was the whole point of his show. And I was listening to it, but I was watching going, boy, this really looks familiar. This, you know, everything they did reminds me of, like, how the prepping for the show and getting on the show and trying to go through phone calls and get line up the guests and all that stuff. Everything just reminded me of everything we go through every week. And everybody's laughing at this guy. And all I can think is, they're laughing at my life. This is what they're doing.
That's it. And then pile a full-time job on top of it.
Yeah. And then then yesterday I went down to New Jersey to see my family.
Yeah, Jersey.
They wanted to throw me a 40th birthday party because I turned 40 last week.
Yes, you did. Happy birthday again.
Thank you. And my sister gave, since the Oscars are this week, my sister gave me an award that, you know, for best brother in the world. And I accepted the award saying, everybody insisted I give a speech. And I said, I didn't expect this award, but I certainly deserved it. Because, it's tough to tell people that you deserve an award when you're being so humble. Because your humility is part of what makes you wonderful. So
this is true. This is true.
And then today, I think I spent the entire day on the phone today or out riding, trying to do errands. And I got nothing done that I meant to
do. Take the bike out today, or was it snowing?
It was snowing this morning when I woke up, so the bike didn't go out. In fact, I've got to go out and charge the battery on the bike, I think. I tried to start it a few weeks ago, and it didn't want to quite make it. So I think the battery's going to need a charge.
Man, I was so excited tonight. I thought I got the studio all rearranged. I got my Captain Morgan statue next to me here. I got the tripod all set up. I thought, well, our listeners are going, first time ever, big time tonight.
Well, you know, it's funny. After you had said, you know, I'm running out to get this and everything, I got all excited. I put the Ghost Band and Demon Hunter banner across the wall. And I, Chrissy P for Christmas bought me this big kind of steel-looking cross that looks like it came from a cemetery. It has a clock in the middle, but it's really cool and kind of corny, but corny in that really cool way. And I thought, this is going to be great when we go to video, because people will be able to see the time right behind me. And I set the whole thing up, and then you called me and said, I'm getting this. And I was like, Sean, I'm not going to have time to set up. If you buy the thing, bring it home, set up your camera, and we go video. So I was so disappointed, not in that you couldn't get it, but more that I just don't know enough about it yet. But this week, we'll get it going. We'll be video next week, and people will get to see our ugly mugs when we're doing the show.
Yeah,
but
again,
shout out to Ken. Big thank you to Ken, because he rushed through to get a lot of stuff done for us tonight. So, Ken Merrick, thank you very much.
Thanks for backing us up, Ken, even though we didn't show up.
So yeah. Ken's like that guy who makes the bean dip for 20 people and nobody shows up for the party. You know, I feel bad.
That's it.
But
what are you going to do? Hey, aliens harvesting our dead birds. Did you hear about this?
I did not hear about this. This directly connects into the dead bird story we talked about a few months ago. So, but I did not hear about aliens harvesting them.
It's happened. It's a fact. It's in the news. It has to be true. Okay, here it is. Raymond, Kansas. The world has been puzzling over recent unexplained mass deaths of flocks of birds. Mm. And now eyewitnesses' testimony suggests the culprit may be UFO aliens. Why did they have to say UFO aliens? How about just UFO aliens?
Well, rather than illegal aliens, I suppose.
Oh, well, I guess you have to clarify that in today's world. The strange phenomena started when several thousand red-winged blackbirds fell to the ground in BB, Arkansas. Was it B-Bay or BB?
I thought it was BB, but then again, who knows? It's Arkansas, man.
Who cares? It's Arkansas.
I didn't say who cares. I said who knows.
You said who cares. January 1st, shortly afterward, there were similar incidents reported in Sweden, New Zealand, Brazil, and elsewhere around the globe. Initially, experts offered half-hearted theories, everything from fireworks to high-altitude hail to explain the bizarre events. But now eyewitnesses have come forward with stories that suggest a very different otherworldly explanation. A fall of about 200 birds was seen in the late afternoon on January 17th by several residents of a tiny town of Raymond, Kansas. And all the eyewitnesses agree that they saw the birds fall from a silver disc-shaped object hovering high in the air.
Ooh.
One of them says she was standing outside the barbershop on Main Street, and when suddenly I seen a bird just plop down on the ground at my feet. Then right after that, three or four more. Then dozens and dozens fell right in the middle of the road. I looked up, and there directly overhead was a flying saucer type of doohickey. That's a doohickey.
A doohickey.
Yeah, it was maybe 500 feet or so, it says. Another witness, Clyde Hastings, says that he saw birds clearly being ejected out of this round, shiny, metallic craft. So they say it's much like the cattle mutilations of the 70s and 80s. For some reason, the aliens have moved on to birds. There you go. Everybody's seeing them in B-Bay.
Does this mean that the aliens are giving us the bird?
The bird. I think so. I think this is their way of... remember when I posted that on Facebook when they first started coming out with these bird slangs? Apparently now we know. Well, the bird slangs, I said. But you know, this just in, aliens apologize. Oops, we sent phasers to humans. Sorry.
it's funny because I just got done watching a commercial about that new movie coming out with the guys from Shaun of the Dead. They're doing that alien movie now.
Yeah,
and I forget the name of it. Somebody in the chat room will remind me. But he's sitting there. He picks up the dead bird and he brings it back to life, and then he eats it. And he's like, "I'm not going to eat a dead bird." You know, it's
right. It's going to be alive.
So they're harvesting our birds to bring them back to life to eat them. So it's good to know.
So what you're saying is you're going on record saying aliens eat bird. That's what you're saying right now.
Yeah, I'll go on record to say that. Yep.
Okay.
I'll say
that. All right. Well, you're quoted as saying that this day and this time, our Lord.
Now, whether or not they eat the fish that were killed, I think that might have been an accident, a byproduct of killing the birds.
The birds falling into the water could have polluted the fish.
Right. Yep.
They could have choked on chicken bones.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. It's happened to a beagle once, I heard. It's.
Well, it does happen.
The name of the movie is Paul. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks. Paul. Is Paul the alien?
I think Paul is the alien. But, I'm going to see it because I was just such a fan of Shaun of the Dead that I'm going to have to see this movie. But whether or not I get out to the theater, because, Sean will tell you, I never get out to the theater. It doesn't seem like it anyway. I don't know. I might wait till DVD. Blu-ray, so I can...
I think you go to the theater more than I do.
Well, if it wasn't for Chrissy P., I'd never get out to the theater, because she drags me out kicking and screaming. I'm sitting there going, no, I need to do more work on the computer. And no, she drags me out.
No, I need to set more in my recliner.
Yes.
That's what I want to do. Hey, I got new countertops today. I got a new recliner. Did all kinds of stuff today around the studio.
Did you get the tax return, dude, or...
Yeah, I did.
There you go.
That's right. Motivation means cash. Cash means motivation, I guess.
I haven't even done my taxes yet. I'm afraid to do them. I think I told you. I have like $2 coming back to me. So it's.
I know. Too bad we can't write off the G&D show. We should be able to do that because I bought like this microphone 4 years ago.
Yeah. Well, actually, I brought my taxes the year we started the G&D show to someone who did taxes. And I had the receipts for, like, the microphones and stuff like that. And because you remember, I had bought the whole travel studio. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you can write all this off. All you have to do is have, a business to write it off to, which would have meant I would have had to go out and pay the $7 for a business a title, doing business ads at the town hall. And I never got out to do it. So I lost out on thousands of dollars of discount deductions because I didn't pay $7 for a license or a DBA.
So, right. Oh, don't worry. Because of my divorce, I miss out on thousands each year. My kids. Yeah, I can only claim one. She claims one, but she can claim the daycare, all the stuff that I pay for. She gets to claim
it. Yeah. And people wonder why the G&D show. Why the G&D show takes so long to advance in anything? Yes. We're broke, people. We're using
Land of the Free, home of the. Prejudiced against men. That's what
we're using the same laptop to broadcast that we used in 2007. So
it's not me. I got the new one.
Well, that's right. You got the new one. If this one dies, we're out of luck because I'm running off of somebody else's codes on Simplecast here. But I didn't say that. But it cost a fortune to turn the show back on.
Our show's like Gypsy Radio.
That's our new name, Gypsy Ghostman and Demon Hunter. Gypsy
it's like
Radio.
We roll into the town and set up carnival, and then the next morning we're gone.
We pickpocket people, steal their codes, steal their information, steal your children, and corrupt them, make them watch Extreme Paranormal late at night, and
sell them for airtime.
Yes.
So, hey, that's what we should do. That's the next thing. We should get a studio gig where we can go in there. But I don't know how you go about doing that. I tell you what, I was listening to some late night programming the other day, And it's the same thing with like Channel 4, local broadcasting stations here in Indianapolis. I know you guys got them all around the country, but it's terrible. I mean, not every show, but there's a lot of, they would rather see dead air play the national anthem for 18 hours straight than to have a, you know, a halfway entertaining show on anybody. Just, you know, a lady talking on a phone would be better than listening to Tones for 6 hours. But yeah, I guess not. I guess the producers know better than I. That's why they get paid good. But it's the same with TV, man. Everybody's like, well, you remember when we went to Hollywood and LA, Nate, a lot of producers were like, we know how to do it. We know what people want. They have no clue.
No, and it was funny because I really think, you know, if we'd been ourselves on TV, you'd still, you know, G&D's show might have taken a turn for the worse because we wouldn't be able to record as much. But you'd still be seeing us out there because we wanted to bring the humor back to the paranormal. Because let's face it, we go into spooky houses late at night, bring our recorders, and sit there in the quiet for 8 hours. I mean, come on. Who is not laughing at us? Come on.
Doesn't question their insanity at least 20 times while on a ghost investigation. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, alive.
That's how we roll, man. That's how we roll. The bridge of insanity. That's it. The bridge. There is no bridge.
There is no bridge?
There is no bridge. I just crossed it. So anyway,
and you burned it behind you.
This weekend blew by once again, like every other weekend. Last weekend we had that paranormal fest that I did, so I'm just now starting to actually breathe. I've been holding my breath, I think, since last weekend. And whoop, looky there, it's work week again.
Oh man,
you know what? Though I have a ritual. You guys out there, listeners around the world, you might have the same ritual, Demon Hunter. I don't know, but every night or every Sunday night after the Ghostman Demon Hunter show, I go upstairs. I turn on the TV, usually nothing on Sunday night, and I put on Netflix or something, try to find something, and I just veg out
okay.
for like 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, that's my Sunday night ritual. I absorb every second of freedom that I have with my weekend.
Okay. That's what
I do. There you go. I just thought I'd tell you. Are you writing this down?
I'm writing it down so that I know where to find you on the weekends.
Yes. Well, I've talked to you till early in the morning hours before about the show.
Yeah, it's funny, folks. Our lives come in such a place where Sean will call me at like 2 a.m. and be like, I have an idea. And of course, since we have no lives, I'm like, tell me about it.
Yes, let's do this. Or since we have two hectic lives, man, we finally get to sit down. The Ghostman Demon Hunter show is actually the center. It's like meditation radio.
Meditation. New name.
You know, for the insane.
Ghostman and Demon Hunter. Gypsy Meditation
Radio. How many
names
is that tonight? We went through like 5. Oh, we didn't write any of them down either. So there, get rid of G&D.
It's recorded. At least let's hope it is, and we don't have another Chad Vader incident.
Yes, let's do Chad. There we go. That's all we got, guys.
Okay.
That was it. We had a good one.
Now we'll get sued for, like, copyright infringement or something.
Yeah, well, good luck, guys. They can have my mandolin. I'll give it to them. It'll be a bloody court battle. Hey, they can have my camera. Good luck getting that to work. Yeah, that's the thing right there. They can have my camera. They can borrow it until I get a decent. See, that's the thing. I got it on the clearance rack because it had been open before, and it was the last one they had. I mean, it was a $200 camera for like $100. Yeah. And you can't pass that up. And the guy was like, oh, man, everything's here. It's just, it was, you know, it works fine. We checked it out. Well, they didn't check it out too much because it didn't have all the parts. I mean, who's done that before? Doesn't that get you guys? I mean, I've done it. That's a couple times I've had that happen now.
So it ticks me off so badly.
Yeah. You got to remember, these guys are out there trying to hump and make a sale. They don't care. Once they write you up, you're out the door. Here, take it. I want my commission. That's how it goes, man. That's how it goes.
Well, it could be worse, Sean. You could have gotten back and the camera wasn't in the box, but the cables were.
Yeah, that's true. Could have been worse.
Try explaining that when you return it.
Yeah. And then I went to Walmart or someplace like that. I don't know. We'll call it Paulmart. We went there, and I was desperately looking for an adapter, anything that I could plug into the wall to provide juice for the camera so we could go live. And the kid brings out a cigarette lighter charger.
Okay.
For the camera. Well, of course, it didn't work, but I was like, well, how's this going to work, man? I guess I love coming to you live from my driveway. right outside my car.
I'm in the haunted Chevy, and I'm in Christine. Yes, that's it.
Christine, it's haunted. No, I was talking to Jerry the other day, and he said something about Gettysburg. I guess one of these ghost shows went to Gettysburg or whatever. We've been out there 5 billion times. It's actually the birthplace of the Ghostman Demon Hunter show. And Jerry was talking about maybe going back, and I thought, how cool would that be if we called up our old friend Mark Nesbitt and seen if we couldn't do a live video cast from his place. Of course, they'd have to have internet.
Right, and I think that was the issue we had last time, that he didn't have internet in the haunted area, the attic, which is said to be haunted. But, you know, I did recently put in a request, Sean, as many people have heard me say, my favorite haunted location in the country is the Theater Works Theater in New Milford, Connecticut. And I put in a request to go live from Theater Works with the board there. So maybe I just jinxed it by telling everybody, but with any luck, we will have a chance for me to set up, and we'll be video at that time, so maybe somebody will see something.
Well, I'm hoping we can go video a couple places like that. I was hoping maybe somewhere in Salem, but wherever we go this year, we're definitely going to have to say, hey, do you have internet connection?
Yeah. And but the truly interesting thing about Theater Works is I'm always getting EVPs there. Always. So I'm really hoping... And now I'm knocking on wood. I need wood. Wood. No, I don't need that kind of wood, Sean.
Wood.
Put it away, Sean. Put it away.
I was going to say, you're about 16 hours too late.
I'm really hoping that when I'm there, we can set up, do a live broadcast, and somebody will hear some of the crazy stuff I've heard, just to verify for me, vindicate my sense of, you know, loving this place. And with any luck, it'd be a great broadcast.
Right. Well, don't you know every EVP you get's just outside interference anyway.
Well, so that's what I keep telling you that just to annoy you, but
no, I was doing my presentation last weekend or whatever, and some guy goes, "Well, how do you know it's not?" And I said, "Well, sir, I don't know that for a fact, but listen to these here." And I got like, "I'll kill you." And
well,
you know,
great,
what's your name?
Great book out there on the subject, if anybody gets a chance, by Mary Roach. There's a book called Spook. And she goes through and tackles all the different aspects of paranormal and paranormal investigation with, with using scientific methods. And EVP, though she does give some of it away to the possibility of your recorder picking up stray signals
outside
things
influences.
Like that. Yep, outside influences. The really strong, good EVPs, she has no explanation for. It's the one subject where she cannot explain it away, is the EVP. Is there an explanation out there for it? Could be. Maybe, I'm not going to say that it's 100% positive, got to be ghosts, but I'm saying it's a good possibility since I can't see a way that could explain the way some of these EVPs answer what you're saying. So,
well, the one thing about it, Demon Hunter, is the legitimate EVPs that we got, and I say legitimate in the form that we say it's interactive, it's intelligent.
Right.
That way you say, hey, the name on the gravestone is Tina Legitimate. And it says, what's your name? And it says, Tina Legitimate. Now, in my book, I don't know about you, that
the
would
Ghost
be...
Man and Demon Hunter show does not take any responsibility for anyone actually named Tina Legitimate who may be causing EVPs.
Yeah, we're sorry, Tina. But once again, she can have my camera. But, you know, what I'm saying is it's hard to say that's Fat Sammy down the road with his ham radio. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
and what
right.
The thing is, a lot of non-believers, they'll go out once or twice with the ghost hunting group and they'll get with somebody and you'll hear a, and somebody go, oh my God, did you hear that? Oh, he said, Johnny's going to come and kill you. You know, and there's just no way it sounded like that to your ear. So they chalk it up to audio matrixing. And it's just not that. I mean, we got something going on out there. And like you said, we're not going to say it's definitely ghost speaking or whatever, but there's something there.
Yeah. And there's definitely more of it than ever before. But then again, there's more people with recorders out there. I mean, I didn't run around with a recorder when I was 20 years old. But now any 20-year-old with $20 can go out and buy a digital recorder at Walmart and, you know, be a ghost hunter. It's...
And
let's face it, facts, folks. There is a difference between a ghost hunter and a paranormal investigator. A ghost hunter is out there trying to find anything that he can call a ghost. And if you call yourself a ghost hunter, I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying there's a difference because a paranormal investigator covers a lot more different aspects of it. And, you know, so I don't even use Ghost Hunter anymore when I tell people what I do. One, because we're reaching a stage again, Sean, where people are looking at me funny when they find out what I do.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's starting to bleed out again.
Yeah, it for a while there, people heard you were a ghost hunter or a paranormal investigator, and all they wanted to do was tell you their ghost story or, you know, start to or find out what you did or something like that or what you do. And it's starting to bleed back to where it's like, you know, oh, I'm a paranormal investigator, and an eyebrow raises. You know, suddenly Mr. Spock is looking at you, and
girls are still not throwing their panties.
No. By the way, Sean, I have proven myself to be a total geek.
Yeah.
Because my birthday last week, one of the things I had on my Christmas list actually for Chrissy, and I got for my birthday from my friend Charles. Yep. Is the Doctor Who sonic screwdriver for Doctor number 11. So I, wait, here, it's a... Now your video camera will work. I just fixed it. So
what is that? What's he use the sonic screwdriver for?
Well, it's like a sex toy. It actually kind of looks like a sex toy. in this mode... It can repair just about anything, and in this mode, it is a scanner. So it's
like the ones they use at Walmart or what? Is scanning a lot of merchandise?
I guess so, because it's got a little green light at the end that can scan a barcode. I'm pretty sure. So yes, I am a geek, Gary. I'm a geek, but. It also what you were saying about the sex, it also extends.
Maybe we could change the name and sell them on our website to the ladies.
I think they are copyrighted, but I will say, I got a lot of really cool birthday gifts. I got things I needed. I got a new Masonic bolo tie. Yes, I wear bolo ties, but only because
underwear. You always get underwear.
I got socks. I didn't get underwear. Yeah. But this toy, besides probably my tie that I got that I wanted, the bolo tie, which makes me look like a Masonic cowboy, but it's really cool. this is probably my favorite birthday gift that I got, because it's just this, and I got Buffy Season 8, the comic, the video comic. So
the nude season.
Well, I do understand that in the video comic, in the original Buffy Season 8 comics, she does have a lesbian affair. So
with the redhead, right?
No, not with Willow, with another Slayer. So
Willow.
Yes.
But, they stole that name. There was a movie out called Willow. It was a
well,
small person.
The point I think they were trying to make early on in the show is that she was going to turn out to be a Wiccan because, you know, it's a natural name, Willow. You know, it's a tree. So, yeah, take that, Peck.
My name, Sean, was that of a Wiccan or a medicine man, don't you? You use Sean a lot in the Indian heritage, stuff like that.
That's Shaman. Shaman.
It's not Shaman.
Not Shaman. No, but
here I'm telling people I'm a famous Shaman.
Well, you are a famous. Marble Warble, Orble Bush. Everybody take a drink. Not that we drink on this show.
Orble Bush.
But I'm a geek. I'll admit it. 100% geek, and I'm very excited because Doctor Who is coming back on the air this spring, and I have been fixated on finding out who Professor Riversong is, and it's bad. It's a bad addiction I have there.
I'm so upset we couldn't go to video.
Everybody could have gotten to see my sonic screwdriver.
They could have got to see Captain Morgan sitting beside me here, my Wolfman statue on my desk. I even brought out the RT EVP and the ghost box.
Sean, I am actually moving the Demon Hunter side of the studio to the basement very soon.
So, really?
Yep. I'm building a man cave in the basement. And,
so now we can broadcast from below.
Yes, from deep below the surface of the earth.
I am literally.
Wait, didn't somebody else use that for their opening somewhere?
No, that's somewhere out there.
No, there was another paranormal broadcast that had that from several miles below. Oh no, that was. Oh geez, Famous,
they stole it from us.
Famous broadcaster. Everybody, most people hate him. I kind of find him interesting. Can't remember his name now.
That's why you hate him, I guess. Right?
I guess that's why. So either you love him, you hate him, or he's easy to forget. So I guess I fell in the easy to forget stage. But that was one of his lines from deep below the earth in a underground hidden broadcast center or whatever.
That's where I'm at.
But hey, you know, we only have like a minute, and then we got to take a break, so we can come back with our guest.
Okay, well, we got a minute. So what are we going to talk about here with a minute?
We got anything you want to cover before we go to break?
Nope, I bled through my news reports. I didn't have much time to research in the night since I was running around trying to provide quality video for our listeners.
The funny thing is, I actually had several news reports to read tonight, and I did not save them on my computer.
Check this out. Our listeners are soon to be our viewers.
That's right. Yeah. But, you know, we're still going to be recording the show so that it can go on archive.
Right.
So people will, our iTunes listeners will still be able to listen to the show.
Right.
And they just won't be able to see our handsome mugs there on the screen.
I was thinking with the video, because we're not going to have much time to dry run this unless we tell them every day that we have a show.
Well, we'll just tell them every day we have a show, and
we only have 2 hours a day.
Yeah, we'll have 2 hours a day to rehearse, and let's face it, we're gonna like rehearse for a half hour and then start telling goofy stories and have a drink. So,
and just pretty much like the show.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
I was thinking, because I want to do a lot of special things when we get the show up and running, and maybe our listeners, soon-to-be viewers, can tell us suggestions, guys. What do you want to see when we go live? Because, there's a lot of shows out there, and I didn't want to become just one of those guys that sits there and stares at the computer and talks back and forth. Because if they're watching, you want to do a little bit different. But it's hard to do a broadcast when you're, you can't, juggle.
No. We don't have a producer. We're our own producers. Yeah. And we have minimal equipment and systems and, eventually, maybe that'll grow. Maybe I'll be working full time again, and maybe we'll get a TV show. And you never know; it's a lot of maybes in there.
Well, we're producers. We're directors, producers.
Yeah, that we are. That we are.
We produce this every Sunday, so we can do it. We can do it.
It'll happen, man. It'll happen. Somebody, Ghost Chaser, wants to see a monkey dance. Naked monkey dance.
Well, see, that would be hard because we'd need a camera guy to operate the camera. Because once you get it set,
are you gonna do the naked monkey dance?
Yeah, I would do it with the thong on. I wouldn't go totally nude because we'll get booted off the air. But I don't know, because literally we're pirate radio, aren't we? I mean,
no, we're naked gypsy something.
Naked gypsy pirate radio.
Yes, it's something else. Something else thrown in there. Ghostman and Demon Hunter Radio. Yeah, it's.
I thought maybe we could have some live guests come on. Like I could go outside and find a bum or something and bring him in and give him a hot. Look, kind of like Howard Stern. We bring him in and see what he'll do for $5. Or that's cruel. Hey, hold this ghost box and chant out Satan. See what happens here.
Oh, and on that note, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to break, Sean. When we come back, we'll have our guest, Patrick H.T. Doyle. Or is it T.A.? It's H.T.
H.T. T.H. It's not T.H. Okay, guys, stay tuned. Author, next rest stop, Earth, up next.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
What is the darker side of the moon, Laura? It is a radio show that discusses weird news, strange happenings, and strange people. Yeah. And it's once a week. Once a week. Just once a week. That's not too much to ask. No, it's not. But if you really like it and you want to listen to it every day, you can. You can listen on the podcast. And how do you do that, Becky? Check us out on iTunes, or you can find us at our website at darkersideradio.com. For Darker Side of the Moon with Becky Ray and Laura Moon. Yay. Check the website for showtimes and dates. Yes, because we're always moving about. Because we like to keep you on your toes. Gotcha.
Psst, Sean. Sean, you there?
Yeah?
You know, all the people who ran off to the bathroom are going to miss this part of the show.
They are.
They don't get to hear this. But I just wanted to say before I play this next song, you know, our friends from Soul Dog, who did our old intro music, they're now Rev Ron and Friends, the Rev Ron Band, and they did a song called Jackals, and I'm going to play that tonight.
All right, let's play it out.
It's an acoustic song. It was recorded live at one of their shows. So,
you know, thousands of people are sitting on the John right now going, dang it, what are they saying?
I missed it. Darn it.
Make sure to wipe first, guys. Let's roll the song. Let's go.
Thank you. Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
Okay, well, wait, just do what you do.
Hello, this is Christopher Saint, and you're listening to Ghost Man and Deviant Hunter Show, and we're the Booth Brothers with Children of the Grave. Yeah, stay tuned, they have a hot... Is that a radio show? Who was that again? Yeah, okay. Stay tuned and listen to Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, they rock.
Hey, Ghost Man and Demon Man, whatever.
Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Blah, blah, blah. Thorn of Gethsemane there with our intro music, our old intro music from Soul Dog and Rev Ron and Friends, which you can find at guitarviking.com. I think that's the song where they actually list on the website, you know, this was an acoustic recorded live. We kind of lost it at the end, but it's...
Sounds like Kung Fu to me. Why?
But yeah. And then of course our new intro music by Thorn of Gethsemane. So all those people rushed to the bathroom. They missed that whole section there, Sean, where we were talking.
Yeah, so if you guys were on the John, you missed some quality entertainment.
Yes,
there.
You know, it's that's what we do. We're always changing it up there. You never know what's gonna
happen.
We're
sneaky like that. Hey, Ghost Ray sent me something, guys. I don't know much about it yet, but I'm definitely gonna check it out. Go to www.jeffreyk.myevent.com. That's jeffreyk.myevent.com. They're doing a charity event on June 4th, guys. It seems really cool. I think it's, I'm not sure what it's going to be. I think it's got something to do with the hauntings and raising some money for Jeffrey. So, you know, we're all about raising some money for guys that aren't feeling well these days. And
I'm not feeling well. Can we raise some money for me?
Yeah, we can raise some money. Didn't we make like $5 over the last 4 years? Or something?
I think we're up to $9.
What you do with all that?
I
spend it all on candy, man. You know,
it's an addiction, man. It's I just don't want to even talk about it. It's an addiction.
It's your online poker, man. Got the best of you. But tonight's guest, we have him here in studio with this cool cat. He's our Irish brother, Demon Hunter, and he's back once again, author of Next Rest Stop Earth, Mr. Patrick H.T. Doyle.
Hey, how you guys doing,
Sean? Patrick. Nathan.
What is up?
Hey, Patrick. You know, it's good to have you back. It's good.
Oh,
to
thanks.
Have, you know, you're.
It's been a while.
It has. But you're a very mellowing aspect. You know, you come on and all of a sudden I feel very zen. I feel very centered. What is that about you, Patrick, that does that?
I have no idea.
You're kind of like an angry boost. You know, I feel your anger inside you, my son. I'm kidding.
Yeah. I have the boxing that takes care of the anger inside of here. So
that's your Anakin Skywalker just pushing to get out. Yes. It's
so it's the physical is taken care of. So maybe the physical is taken care of. So maybe it's the mental and the emotional is kind of coming out and soothing everybody.
See, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm actually a chronic lover. 3 or 4 times a day.
Unfortunately, he's a chronic. He's also a self lover.
Yes,
so
yeah, I got that.
Get it? 3 or 4
times. I've talked to him in the past, and yeah, I kind of had the
that he keeps
other things are going on.
That he's holding the phone with only one hand. There, it's
yeah.
I'm spring
what's
leaves.
What's the sound in the background?
Nothing, Patrick. Oh,
you should I gotta go.
We have that effect on our guests.
I was going to do the SpongeBob, hey, Patrick, hey, SpongeBob, I can't do it now. I was doing it perfectly before, hey, SpongeBob, I can't do it. Patrick, you know, Patrick.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I got some weird phone call from you, Sean, like a couple weeks ago. It was just like, it went to voicemail, but when I listened to the voicemail, it was just music for like 3 minutes. So I don't know if you had fast dialed me or... you dialed me or whatever you did, but I was just sitting there listening to music for 3 minutes going, what the fuck is he doing?
Well, you know, that happened, Patrick, because he keeps dialing your number and then hanging up. So you were already on a speed dial there, and he accidentally called you. It was
I must have not waited for the beep. It started out, what are you wearing right now? What are you wearing? And the cue music. That's...
You got to take care of this obsession you have.
No, man, I have a problem. I have a problem. That's terrible.
But anyway, guys.
Anyway, now that everybody knows that they're definitely listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Well, Patrick, you know, before we get onto your new work, I just want to say we have people already like mentioning the chat room and stuff that they love your books, that they want to get them for their daughter. Shelly was saying she wants to get the Edgar Funt books for her daughter. You know, there's three of them out right now, right?
In the Edgar Font series, there's three out. Now that Next Red Stop Earth is over, I'm working on the fourth in the Edgar Font series. I just have to finish the ending, and then I do all the illustrations. The illustrations actually take longer than the writing of the book, which is kind of odd. It should work the other way around. But I've been putting so many illustrations in the latest books that it takes about 6 months to like do all the illustrations.
Now I could do some of the illustrations for you. It would take a lot less time because my stick figures, they don't take long to draw at all.
I'll call you
later. So, hey, Patrick, you do all your own illustrations, so you're an artist then, right?
Yep, do all the illustrations, do all the cover design. Even with Next Rest Stop, I did that cover design. There's illustrations throughout, but nothing is detailed and kind of character-driven as Edgar Font.
Right, right. Which
you're going to hear people that are looking for, because, Edgar Font's going strong. It's going to be 7 in total when it's all done, so we're only in the middle. So people are still excited.
We've got some new Ghost Man and Demon Hunter listeners, and to give people a recap, because we've talked about this on the show before, Edgar Font is not a ghost.
No, Edgar Font is a... the way I used to describe him is kind of like Indiana Jones, but living in a retirement home. So got that adventurous spirit. Well, he's living. He's not dead. Seen everything. Seen things that we can't even imagine are out there. Has met people that we couldn't even fathom talking to. He's seen it all, done it all, and now he's living in a retirement home. So when his two grandkids come to visit him, Audrey and Garrett, over their summer vacation, he pitches to them, "We're going to go out this whole summer long and hunt for a house for me to haunt when I pass." So each book covers a different location that he's considering of haunting when he passes.
And okay.
So he wants to haunt a place that's exciting as his life has been. So he doesn't want to haunt the retirement home.
Now,
great book too.
Does he ever get to a point where like he gets in there and he thinks there might already be ghosts there, so he doesn't want to share it? And
the first one, the Castle Tower Lighthouse, they do run into a couple ghosts there. One who is kind of an evil spirit who is kind of controlling the other, and it turns into this puzzle mystery that they have to kind of find the clues, solve the puzzles, and just kind of it takes them from room to room of this haunted lighthouse out in the middle of nowhere. And they help ghosts, they capture ghosts, they solve mysteries. They're just an adventurous crew
now, and they do it all without a Great Dane. It's amazing.
No Great Dane, no K2 meters, no infrared cameras.
Do they have a Doctor Who sonic screwdriver? Because, you know, I've really fallen in love with my Doctor Who sonic screwdriver here.
Yes.
I would work it in if I wouldn't get sued.
Yeah, that's true.
You're zapping Patrick right now with your screwdriver.
I was just fixing the microphone, really.
Take that, Patrick.
I need some fixing, too.
Patrick's fixing his house up right now, just like me, Nate.
Oh, yeah. Well, I am living in someone else's house, so I don't have to do that. I just ran into
an electrical snafu, like the basement breaker just shot, so now I have to replace that.
Was it paranormal, Patrick?
It probably was, because this is a 100-year-old house, and you know every old building is haunted.
Yes. It's tough, though, when you get called out to like those condos where people say that their house is haunted, and you do the investigation, found the house was built 4 years ago, and it wasn't built on Indian burial land, and nobody died there, and then you find out that the people next door just like to throw wild parties, and that's what people are hearing, you know. It's
still haunted.
Yes, it's haunted by those wild parties.
That's when they tell you, well, what do you mean it's haunted? There's no Indian burial grounds. Nobody's ever died here. And that's when you say, so?
Yes, really.
That's a ghost investigator's last dying excuse.
Just bring extreme paranormal in. It'll be haunted by the time it's done.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, just to
tie back to Next Rest Stop Earth, dead person doesn't have to be there or doesn't have to be an Indian burial ground. There are ghosts around us at all times.
See? Yeah. Let's talk about that. Next Rest Stop Earth.
Next Rest Stop. Now, I understand there are aliens, ghosts, werewolves, Bigfoot, crop circles, the crash of Roswell, the Pyramid Wars, the pyramids on Mars, Nostradamus, guardian angels, pigeons,
strippers,
and more.
And the ones you got to watch out for the most.
You know, it's funny because I remember years ago watching a very well-known paranormal show on TV where they swore there were people walking around on the top floor of Eastern State Penitentiary. And I went in and did an investigation there and heard the same thing and was shocked until I realized I actually got to hear it with my ears and realized it was pigeons on the rebarb. And I was like, oh, man, that just ruined the whole thing for me. But
so getting back to the book, Patrick, what's going on?
So it's a sci-fi adventure. So it does cover all those things, but I explain them in a fun way. But it makes sense at the end. How it's like, hey, that's a possibility that aliens are this or ghosts are that or Bigfoot and all that stuff. So I just kind of like took everything paranormal that's out there and through history, like the Flight 19, I took Bigfoot, the Patterson-Gimlin film. I took the Roswell crash in 1947. I took all those little bits of paranormal stories and kind of wove them together in this adventure. And it takes place on a gas station for UFOs in the heart of the Bermuda Triangle. And it's in the heart of the Bermuda Triangle because all UFOs in the galaxy run on salt water.
So the
UFO pump station is out there in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. That's why all these boats and airplanes get diverted and captured because they get a little too close to the station. And
now, is it invisible?
No, it is not invisible. It's just it's got a bubble around it. That makes it blocks all sensors and signals can't get out and signals can't get in. So the people inside the bubble, so it is run by humans and it's overseen by aliens.
Do the men in black know about it?
I'm sure they do, but they didn't get any mention.
Okay. Now, Patrick, you realize since you came out with this book, brother, not only are you already a god because you're Irish, but... The thing about it is, people are going to start lining up on your lawn to pray to you. You're going to have a bunch of cats in like Snuggies with white sneakers on, and they're going to be drinking Kool-Aid and dying on your front lawn and praying to you, waiting on the next rest stop.
Now, are you planning to blame that on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show? Because we need to inform our lawyers before you do that.
Well, if I could convert Tom Cruise and the other guy,
get
them away from Scientology. If I could convert Scientologists over to my religion, that'd be a good thing, I think.
Now, there you go. In your religion, does anybody get like infused with a alien spirit by washing their hair?
We could work that in.
Okay, because I'm pretty sure that somewhere in Scientology, that's the big deal. Is all these spirits running around that somewhere you absorb these spirits by washing your hair. So I think if you fit that in there somewhere, you will be able to transfer them over.
Or Prowl, or what are they using?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's the actual action of washing your hair that does it.
Head and Shoulders dries out your roots. So you wouldn't really do that.
Wait. I gotta hit the button. Hold on.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Hey, okay. I'm just saying it happens.
It happened to you, Sean, but I don't want
one incident.
Yes.
Whatever. I didn't realize you guys were sales reps for Head and Shoulders. My God. So, Patrick, how are you going to... what do you think about 2012 coming up, bro? Is this the end?
No, it's all just hype. We were supposed to die like many times over in the past few years, so I think we're good. I'm excited about May 21st of this year, actually, because it's supposed to be Judgment Day and Jesus returns.
Really? May 21st?
Now, where did you get this report? Because that one didn't come across my desk yet.
Yeah, I read it. I'll try to find it and send it to you, but it was a while ago. I think I read it like a month or 2 months ago, and I was kind of stoked because Jesus does make an appearance in my book.
He does. Now, see, that's an important piece of information because, you know, if Jesus can make an appearance in your book, you know, maybe somebody can absorb him while washing their hair.
Blasphemous.
So
then he would return May 21st.
Yes, yes.
That's true.
So
that's true.
But, you know, it's interesting because here you are throwing in all this stuff, like, and obviously not everything paranormal, but like all these little tidbits. How do you cross the pyramids on Mars with pigeons?
Mm-hmm. I don't want to give too much away of the book, though, because everything is separate, but it's all linked together. So pigeons, I just said, with pigeons, I'll just say, when you're out there in the world and you see a pigeon, be entertaining because you're being watched.
Oh. Okay, so it's not like, you know, pigeons aren't like you have to bring a pigeon with you, like you have to bring a towel with you.
It's not like hitchhikers.
Well, now is this a book aimed towards kids like Edgar Fund?
No, it's a step above. It's because Edgar is, I'd say, 7 to 14.
Okay, so this is like a tween book.
Yeah, this is more like the tween and older. Okay. So, it does hint to some hints to masturbation and sexual innuendo.
Sean,
you will masturbation on the radio.
You will love this book, Sean.
It'll be a page turner. I can't wait. I've been reading it already. Hey, I want to say, guys in the chat room, they're saying, Patrick, Demon Hunter, that the rapture can't take place May 21st because it will mess with the Indianapolis 500.
maybe it's not the rapture. Maybe Jesus is just appearing at the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, back home again in Indiana.
Well, according to the ministry song, Jesus built my hot rod. So this maybe he's in the pit crew.
It's very possible. Now, mind you, folks, we're not being blasphemous. I am a very... you know, very happy Christian. I think that Jesus has a sense of humor because, you know, look at how he made us. So it's all good, folks. We're not being evil. Yeah. You're sitting back, Sean, waiting for me to say the bad stuff so you don't have to worry about your mom here in the broadcast.
That's true.
Religion, like ghost hunting, needs to, they both need to find a sense of humor.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
desperately.
I used to always love listening to like ministers who had a sense of humor. That was really important to me because if they didn't have a sense of humor, you know, you could only sit and listen to Fire and Brimstone so long. And Sean and I both grew up Baptist. I grew up Northern Baptist. Sean grew up Fundamentalist Baptist. And
Southern.
You grew up Southern. I grew up Northern. But I grew up Northern Fundamentalist. And... you know, there's just so much Fire and Brimstone you can listen to.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I get it. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to die, and I'm going to pay for everything I did. And
you're a sinner.
And I'm a sinner, and I know this. But you know what? There's always this escape clause that's written in. So, yeah, I got all that. But
let's move on to the next topic. Priest.
And at the same time, you know, I have met a lot of really great ministers who not only make you think, but also make you laugh. And when they make you laugh, you know, there's a whole nother aspect to it there. And I've met guys who wanted to be Fire and Brimstone ministers who just couldn't do it. And if they can't do that, they can't be funny either. Because if you can't be the Fire and Brimstone minister, then there's no way you're going to be the funny minister because it takes like that whole personality to take it. Fire and Brimstone's a step below that funny minister. So it's
now, Patrick, when I was growing up, the big craze was in the Southern Baptist Church that I got drugged to was the Number of the Beast in the end times. They actually showed us this, man. I was like 12 years old, and they would take us down in the kiddie room, and you know, they had the paper Jesus and Moses, and they would cut them out and put them on the Velcro backboard, and they'd play with them, and they'd act out the Bible scripture. And then after that, for the grand finale, they gave us Twinkies and Yoo-Hoo. For you guys who don't know what Yoo-Hoo is, it's chocolate milk.
It's
and
then chocolate they would set soda. Us down.
Yeah, they would set us down in front of a TV, and they had a VCR, which was like magic because none of us owned a VCR at that point. And they would put on this movie. I think it was done by, you know, some independent church of whatever. And it would be this man woke up one day and there was tanks rolling down the street and nobody was, you know, there, but the army or whatever, and Jesus had come back and everybody went to heaven, and you had to take the mark of the beast or you'd be beheaded. Now, this is the way they scared me to death. So I was thinking the next day I had to take this mark or my head was going to get cut off. And the actual ending to the show, I'll never forget this. I was 12. Now, I'm sitting in the front row and I'm watching this, and the guy looks up and you think everything's okay, and he goes, "Oh, thank God." And all of a sudden, the guillotine chops his head off and it goes rolling down the street in the credits row, man. It was like, oh, no.
Well, it was a fear-based time. And it's, you know, I'm sure, you know, with writing, Patrick, there's points in your writing where you throw fear in there, not just for the entertainment aspect of it, but for the fact that it's going to really bring the reader more into it.
Oh yeah, so you always like, emotion is like the number one. What is it? Emotion is like the glue for any story. That's how you bring your readers in. It's like you have to have a great character. You have to have great characters, and they have to have emotion that people feel. So,
yes, I'm actually working on my book now for the last 3 years, and it's been about a chapter a year.
Well, Sean, Mark Twain took 40 years to write his autobiography. So. Yeah.
When it's done, I'm sure it'll go straight to the 50 cent aisle. I'm almost certain. But, you know, I always thought with books, Patrick, and you got a lot of this too, but right up at the beginning, when they capture your imagination with this, the leaves blow across the porch and the wind in the trees and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? That right there. Yeah. What do you guys, what do you call that as an author? What do you...
Well, just the opening.
Very interesting, an opening. One.
Well, I will tell you, Sean, one of the important things, which, you know, let me ask you about this. The opening in the on your website, Patrick, that says, "My name is Trevor."
Yep. And it's the same copy that's on the back of the book. So.
Okay. So this is not like the opening of the book, though.
No, this is just the explanation. It's sort of written in a autobiographical tone.
Well, you know,
it's Trevor Barron telling his story of how he went from normal, just gearhead to guy living in the Bermuda Triangle, surrounded by all this paranormal stuff, which is actually normal to the galaxy.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Now,
okay.
What's the release date, or has it already passed, Patrick, on the book?
The release date's tomorrow, isn't it, Patrick?
Yeah, it releases. Oh, I'm losing my tongue here. It releases tomorrow, but pre-orders have been coming in, and it's actually doing really well. It's available for Kindle, and it's got the book edition.
So. I was going to say, Patrick loves us so much. He said, "I want to come on your show the night before my book is unveiled."
Exactly.
Well, you know, Patrick, I'm going to throw this out here because I wasn't going to, but I'm going to do it anyway. You were the founder of the Haunted Hoax Award.
Exactly, and I was the Haunted Hoax video web series that almost got picked up for a reality show, that whole thing.
Well, yeah. It was very, I found it very interesting because, you know, Sean and I did Extreme Paranormal, and we were put under a gag rule for like a year. We couldn't talk about anything to anybody.
Yeah.
And I remember Haunted Hoax came out, and I remember reading your page, and somebody had posted something about, you know, well, can you rescind that award because they didn't like our show? And I got to say, I was really happy you didn't say anything to him. You didn't make any comments. Because Sean and I were very proud about the work we did, and we were very proud to also have a Haunted Hoax Award. And, you know, I just wanted to say that was a really cool thing for you to do in general, and we were glad to have you.
I've always loved you guys, so you've always been friends, so I'm never not going to listen to idiots out there.
Yeah.
Especially, I had like a little stint with the producers myself. Like one a year for the last 3 years. Every January, I get a call from a producer saying, "Hey, this Haunted Hoax thing that you got going on, we can make it big."
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, just tell me another story.
So, well, you know, Sean and I were going to be millionaires living on the top of the hills in California. So
I think all three of us heard the same story. You guys, you guys went a little bit further. I shot like the pilot for Haunted Hoax, but it never got picked up because it was supposed to be shot for Discovery Science. And the day before I was going to go shoot this first episode, I got a call from my producer saying, Discovery just got a new CEO, and he just canceled all paranormal TV shows.
Jesus.
You know, that happens all the time, though. Our producers, when they were working on Extreme Paranormal, also did another show for Comedy Central, and the day, like, they had been, like, offered a contract for, like, 52 episodes or something. Like, some outrageous number that never happens. And the next day they got a call that said, oh, by the way, we're not going to – we just had a takeover or something, and we're not going to do it. And it's just insane the way it happens. But
that's how it happens too, man. Over a five-second brunch, your whole program would be destroyed. So it was it was crazy, man. I tell you, wow. I'm kind of glad the TV thing is over for now, because working full-time and kids and everything, Patrick, oh, man.
Well, and that was the thing too. Sean had to take time off of work to come and film, and literally the days that we would get back, when like Jason and I would go off and like try and get a day's sleep in, Sean had to return and go back to work, you know? Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, people don't realize that. It's like, it's not a full-time job when you're on TV. You're still doing your regular job.
Yep. Right. And
some of these guys are, though, because some of these guys are trained actors or whatever, and they get these shows, so.
But, you know.
I'm friends with Amy Bruni, who's on Ghost Hunters, and that's her full-time gig. Doesn't pay squat, but. Yeah, she's doing that full time.
Yeah, people seem to think you do it for the money.
No, there's no money in it. It's just. I think she makes good money with the, what's it called, the signings and
right.
Yeah.
There's a funny aspect to it where, you know, you go into it with a dream, and you. Halfway through, you realize it's a nightmare because you have no control over anything, and it all changes and. Going back to next rest stop Earth, I was looking over the stuff and realizing, you know, you've got this whole thing coming out. It's coming out tomorrow, which is February 28th.
Yep.
For people listening to the podcast, if you've already got it on iTunes, it's out there. So go buy this book. But it's coming out tomorrow. And
wherever you buy books, I think Barnes & Noble's the big guy that's carrying it, but you also, of course, Amazon, they're the big ones. And,
well, yep, Amazon.
Also, the link to everything is at nextreststopearth.com.
Nextreststopearth.com. I'm actually looking at nextreststopearth.com right now, which is why I'm not in the chat room, folks, if you're wondering.
So, Patrick, do you write the book first, and then you call the people and say, here, I'm going to send you this, what do you think, and then they publish it and put it out, or what?
I do all the publishing myself, and I hire all the other elements that are needed.
Okay.
Because, like I said, I do all the artwork, but I hire all the editors and everyone, the spell checkers and the people do all that stuff. Because I have really bad grammar every once in a while, so I need those people checking across all the I's and stuff like that.
I have it full time, man. Stephen Hill, he's the author of Voices from Beyond or Voices Unknown, something like that, Something Unseen. And I was talking to Stephen. He told me, dude, I can't, because I told him, I said, my punctuation is terrible. And he said, dude, I can't. He said, I wrote in paragraphs and I sent it to the publishers, man. That's how you should do it. So that's how I've been writing it, man, in paragraphs.
Well, you know,
that's what it is. It's like, oh, sorry?
I was saying it's funny to me because. I remember reading a quote by Mark Twain where he had made a statement that, because I'm a Mark Twain fan, huge Mark Twain fan, but I remember him making a statement that he got paid by the word. Mark Twain always got paid by the word, and he had made a statement that because of that, he'll never use the word policeman when he can get away with the word cop. You know, and that's kind of been a bad influence on me because I don't get paid by the word.
Yep.
You know,
You know, I thought I almost got arrested tonight. I thought I was going to. This might be the start of a conspiracy to silence Patrick's book. Never thought of that.
Huh? It might be. There are some controversial topics within the book, so it's possible. People trying to silence me. Maybe I've hit on the truth here that
that's it.
Aliens are what I say they are, and ghosts are the things that I think they are, and everything all you ghost hunters out there, what you're doing is. You're going about it the wrong way, and you'll learn the right way. Read the book.
Read it now.
I have a question for you, Patrick. Is the fact that aliens run their spaceships off of salt water the reason why sea salt is more expensive than iodized salt?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because I figured they wouldn't want to give up all that salt.
I don't know. I think we should switch over. Gas is like $4 a gallon.
Oh, yeah. We got to get that alien technology if it could get released from the station on the Bermuda Triangle.
Right.
It's kind of locked down over there, though.
You know, people be like, hey, Patrick, I'd love to read your book. I can afford it. The price is reasonable, everything else, but I can't afford gas to get to the bookstore, man. You know?
That's what Amazon's for. You just go online. It's sent right to your door.
That's it. Comes right to your
door. Even in snowy weather, it gets to you.
Ain't sleet or snow.
Sleet or snow. It's there at your doorstep. You read it. It's a quick read. It's an easy read. It's a fun adventure, and hopefully you get a laugh out of it. You get a little bit of get that emotional feel from it when you're done.
Possibly get aroused.
Only you, though.
Now, Patrick, obviously you've spent years studying the paranormal. It all comes out in your books. In Next Rest Stop Earth, You fit so much kind of sci-fi / paranormal alien cryptozoology into this book. Is it based on actual things that you've heard of and investigated and talked about with witnesses and stuff like that, that you kind of fit into it? Or is it more like, this is how I kind of think it would happen?
It's a lot of theories that I have about the paranormal, which I think are good theories, but I kind of worked them into the story, like one being ghosts themselves. I touched on this in my Haunted Hook series, that maybe ghosts are a extraterrestrial species that is invisible.
Okay.
Because we're still finding species of life on Earth, like hundreds of them a year.
Like the tube-nosed fruit bat, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't even scratched the surface on species here on Earth, so how are we going to, like, know what's out there in the universe? So maybe aliens are this. Maybe they're an Earth-based life species, our life form, that are energy-based. And they're just kind of living around us, but we don't have the knowledge and the understanding to kind of identify them as an Earth-based life form. And we're just confusing them with ghosts, because that's what we've been told for the last couple hundred years. Like, this happens, it's a spook, it's a ghost, it's a paranormal phenomenon. So we still have a lot of learning as human beings. So just to get back to the question, yeah, I just kind of take some of my old thoughts and theories and kind of work them into the story.
That's it. And those are some good theories, Patrick. And what I want to ask you, how did you get into ghosts?
Like most people in the paranormal, just like you had an experience, and instead of running away from it, you went towards it and tried to find answers.
What was your experience?
I was in Chicago, well, it's actually a suburb of Chicago, and it was just in a house, and I had a lot of experiences in this one house where there's a shadow of a man that I saw down in the basement all the time, like clear as day, shadow of a man right there at the bottom of the staircase. And so I never went down there, but then there were a few times up in my room where I would kind of hear things that I couldn't explain. So that kind of just got me interested in, again, not running away from it, just saying, okay, am I freaking crazy? This is why I was 12 years old. But am I crazy, or is something else going on here? Is it squirrels running on the roof? Is it light going through the windows? So I had this, like, curiosity even back then of trying to figure out what was going on. And just from watching Scooby-Doo, it's like there has to be something else going on, Scooby.
Yeah.
Blinks.
Well, you know, I think Scooby-Doo had such a huge effect on so many modern-day ghost hunters. And that's the effect kind of your books are bringing to kids now. Because Scooby's still out there. Of course Scooby's still out there. But, you know, Edgar Font and now this book and moving up through the ages, kind of like the Harry Potter books that started off really thin and they got fatter because the kids were getting older as I read them. If only, right? Right? If only your books made the Harry Potter reading.
Yep, fingers crossed, knock on wood, and all that other good stuff. So we'll see.
I think Patrick's books are better than Harry Potter.
Well,
I'm not a big Harry Potter fan.
I will have to admit that I agree, Sean. I am a Harry Potter fan. I am a Harry Potter fan because I used to work for Barnes & Noble, and reading Harry Potter was almost a requirement.
He's getting kind of old now. Shouldn't it be like Harold Potter?
Well, I think it is later on.
Watch the movies.
Yeah, it's I have not seen the seventh movie. I didn't get to see it in the theaters. It's the first of the Harry Potter movies I did not see in the theaters. But I'm sure they'll bring it out again just before they bring out the next movie. Yeah, but
what's the one with his uncle Sid or whatever?
Oh, Sirius Black. Sirius Black.
Yeah, I think that's the last one I saw.
That was number 3, and I think six was just in the movie theater. Or no, 7A. 7A was just in the movie theaters.
That was Harry Potter. That was Harry Potter 3. Harry goes to crazy, creepy uncle's house for the weekend. The sequel.
Now we're getting back into your life, Sean.
I was going to say the Sean Burris story.
Fine. But, you don't like my literature? You don't have to read it, sir.
First, the priest takes you down into the dungeon with a videotape and you're drugged, and now you're hungry.
Yes. And now we're on the train to Hogwarts, baby.
That's what he called it, huh?
That's it.
But
you guys,
you know, at any time, you know, did you write any of these stories in mind for somebody in particular? Like, do you have a niece, a nephew, anything like that, that these stories were meant for? Like, oh, I want them to read this.
I think so. Like, subconsciously, I think I am, because I do have a lot of nieces and nephews, and they're readers, and even friends that have kids. I definitely want them to read and enjoy all my stories, so I think I do have them in mind when I'm writing them, but not consciously.
Because I know a lot of writers, because, you know, Chrissy P. being an author, she just wrote her first book, second book's about to come out, and everything like that, and she definitely writes people she knows into the story. Do you do that?
Oh, yeah. Like, in Next Rest Stop Earth, for example, it's like all the people, all the humans that work on the station are real people I worked with at a gas station like a long time ago.
Okay.
So, yeah, I used to pump gas at an Exxon in Potomac, Maryland. And, yeah, all the mechanics, the manager, Ed, and a few of the crew workers on the station at Next Rest Stop Earth are exactly the same people I worked with at Exxon.
Now, like, let me get this straight. The Bermuda Triangle is like an Exxon station. It's a refueling station for ships to just come down and refuel?
Pretty much, and there's a whole, there's the lower decks of the station as well, where there's a trading market, a black market, there's the place called the X's, which if you've been to Amsterdam, you know what the X's mean. And there's a few other things going on down below where the pumping is going on, the gas pump.
Again, one of Sean's books.
I've been there.
Where the pumping happens, by now, Sean Burns.
Lord of the pumping.
Now, like, you've got all this stuff going on in the books. There's all these aspects of people you knew, theories you've had. Obviously, like, Next Rest Stop Earth has a lot of Patrick in it. Are you Trevor?
No, but I guess I kind of work myself into all my books. Well, in the Edgar Font series, I do work myself into the books, or I'm a character for a split second.
Okay.
But I think for Trevor, I think when he's on the station, it's me when I used to work at the station, but everything else, it's a fictional character.
Okay. See, I find that interesting, because when you get to talk to people, like, when you talk to Stephen King, you know that Stephen King is not the characters in his book. But obviously, he has met somebody or had some experience with somebody that inspired him to make that character.
Exactly.
And I find it very interesting to get to talk to the people about the characters. Now, you said that Edgar Font and Next Rest Stop Earth available in all these places, and now it's going to be available on the Kindle. Any chance that there will be an Edgar Font audiobook?
Not in the works.
Next Rest Stop Earth?
I still want people to read. Just can't have people.
Yeah, but see, I'm dyslexic. I hate to read. It makes me fall asleep.
I'm dyslexic. I'm dyslexic as well. So,
fortunately for me, they came out with Dragon Software, so I dictate everything I got to write.
You know, I'm starting to think this dyslexic. dyslexia
have another drink, Sean.
Is a cover-up. Because everybody I hear is like, man, I'm dyslexic, and I did this. Because everybody I talk to that's written a book, they're like, man, what are you talking about? I'm dyslexic. If I did it, you can do it. And I was talking to a guy the other day saying, you should go back to school for this computer class, whatever. I said, dude, are you crazy? I can't. What are you talking about? I'm dyslexic, and I did it. So I'm thinking you guys, you know something the rest of us don't.
Okay. Well, it's just having the people to check your work. Because I do, I mix words up. I flip sentences. Or my editor will come back and say, what were you meaning here? And I'll read it again like three times and say, oh, that sentence was supposed to go before that sentence. Or that word's supposed to go over here. So I do mix stuff up a lot. It's like I'm just thankful I have good editors who catch that and know what I'm trying to say. And they kind of catch it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting part because there are so many different kinds of dyslexia and people just don't realize that. There's visual dyslexia, there's audio dyslexia, there's memory dyslexia, and you know people deal with this in so many different ways. For me, I worked really hard to try and conquer it, and when I couldn't, I cheated. I started listening to audiobooks, and I
think you have more what they call a relaxed brain. That's what I think.
Well, if my brain could relax for 5 minutes, Sean, I might be able to cover up all your screw ups. So
yeah, I mean, but, hey, Patrick, with all the things you touch on in this book, and it's really cool how you ran them all together, but aliens, ghosts, werewolves, Bigfoot, all that stuff. What is your personal opinion on, let's just say, how all these things tie together if they do? Like you said about the ghosts, they could possibly be aliens and we're just, you know, picking them up and thinking they're ghosts or whatever because that's how we've known them through history. But do you think they all might tie together, werewolves, Bigfoot, stuff like that?
I think they only tie together in our heads and in humans' brains. I think they're all separate things, separate phenomena, and like in the book, they just get tied together because they're part of the unknown.
No.
So they just kind of get lumped. They just get lumped together.
Here's sure. one thing, and I think it was Stanton Friedman we were talking to, Sean. I could be wrong, but I think it was might have been on the show or off the show. We were discussing the fact that whenever UFO sightings go up, Bigfoot sightings go up.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a human connection to that, or is that the fact that maybe they are connected?
I'm no expert, but I'd say yeah. I would think if someone is really big into Bigfoot and less on aliens or less in crop circles, and if there's a big spike in crop circles, like there was just recently some over in Indonesia, maybe in the Bigfoot lover's mind, something spikes and they say, and the bear running by looks like Bigfoot to them because they're just hypersensitive. The brain is like in hyper mode from all this UFO talk. They're going, I got to find a Bigfoot. And
right.
There's a Bigfoot. And I'm going to post about that. I just saw a Bigfoot. So maybe it's that. But again, I'm no psychologist or psychiatrist. But I do think there's something going on in our brains where if one thing in the paranormal is going on really strong, like right now with ghosts, the others are going to try to compensate to be as big. Maybe, I think it's like maybe middle child syndrome.
Yeah.
So if you got a big brother on the honor roll and all this other stuff, and he's the jock and all this other stuff, and he's getting all this notoriety, and you got middle kid going, hey, how about me? Look at me. I got Bigfoot over here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's what I did. I swear I seen Bigfoot, though, one time in the alley on the south side of Indianapolis. He was in the alley.
Hang out.
I know. He was going through the trash or something, man. But I swear, we were out there. We were in the backyard one time, and you wouldn't think you'd see Bigfoot in the city or whatever, but we were in the backyard. It was dark out, and I think they had a camping lantern going or something in the backyard, and we were sitting out there, and my buddy was on the swing, and we were doing something, listening to music or something, and we heard something and looked back there, and it was a huge, dark figure, and as soon as we walked towards it, it ran down the alley. I'll never forget that. Never forget. I can't say it was Bigfoot, but it might have been an escaped convict, more so in the Indianapolis South Side area. But I thought it was Bigfoot, guys. I thought I seen the big feet.
That was me. I was building a case on you.
That was a young Patrick.
You know,
I was building a case on you, and I was going through your trash.
I was just reading a magazine article in Weird, New Jersey, Sean. And it was talking about how there's this swamp in this one area in New Jersey where they were pulling out, like, refrigerators and stuff like that, because before dumps were popular, farmers would just dump everything in the wetlands. And when they were pulling out these refrigerators and stoves and all this stuff, they came across a pair of sneakers nailed to giant wooden Bigfoot treads. So obviously somebody had been trying to, like, increase the Bigfoot theory by creating their own Bigfoot myth, or trying to perpetuate the myth. And whether or not that makes that Bigfoot theory at the time right or wrong, it definitely shows that there are a lot of fakes out there.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
So it's some people just looking for not so much necessarily the attention of it being true, but being able to sit back and laugh. So
Now, Patrick, what you got coming up, bro? Because, you know, your book comes out tomorrow. I'm assuming you got a bunch of radio shows you're going to be doing, any TV spots, stuff like that people can see you on.
No, I got your guys' show, which we're doing here. Yeah. And, nothing really. Nothing. The news only gets a hold of me during, like, the Halloween season.
Yeah, we know that feeling.
About ghosts and stuff.
We know that feeling, Patrick. Yeah. We know it.
So I get those calls, like, every October something, saying, hey, you want to go ghost hunting with us?
Yeah.
So, but no, nothing around this book. I'm doing mostly the internet push. So just trying to get people out there spreading the word that way. It's the new media. It's how things are done nowadays. That's why I can self-publish. I don't have to worry about publishers and all that, because all I need to do is put out a good product with some good people behind me, and the word gets spread and the books get sold and people enjoy the stories and stuff like that. So,
well, I tell you what, Patrick, you know, we're your friends and we're behind you 100%. Guys, I hope this is the next best seller, Patrick.
Cool.
I'm going to throw some websites out there for people, Sean, before we wrap up too. It's I want everybody to know it's nextreststopearth.com. For obviously Next Rest Stop Earth. For Edgar Font, if you're an Edgar Font fan or looking for that next episode or want to start reading the Edgar Fonts, that's Edgar Font, EDGARFONT.com. And of course, there's Patrick's page, www.hauntedhoax.net. So, just some information to throw out there for folks. You can find it also on our webpage at www.ghostanddemon.com.
That's right, guys. The author, Patrick H.T. Doyle, the book Next Rest Stop Earth. Guys, check it out. Check it out soon.
Hey,
like
Patrick,
tomorrow.
Patrick, before we wrap up so that people can start planning to buy your book tomorrow, anything you want to say about Next Rest Stop Earth you haven't gotten to talk about tonight?
One question, like, people seem to be asking me online is, like, where's the title come from? It's basically you're just driving down the interstate, says next rest stop, 1 mile, next rest stop, 2 miles. So this is for our intergalactic space travelers, next rest stop, Earth.
So are there other rest stops?
Yes, there are. But we don't touch on those in this. They're kind of mentioned in the front of the book, but we're focused on rest stop Earth. And the adventure that happens there.
I heard an in this, so can we be expecting more rest stops in the future?
I left an open ending. There's no plans for a second one, but I left it open just in case.
Well, folks, be sure to check it out, nextreststopearth.com. And Patrick, can you hang on with us for like a minute and a half while we wrap up the show?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Sean, you know, I hate to say it, Sean. It's that time of the night where we thank everybody for joining us for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Thank you so much, listeners around the world. Hey, make sure to check out Patrick's book. It comes out tomorrow, Patrick H.C. Doyle, Next Rest Stop, Earth. Get your copy, well, soon to be today, guys. You got like an hour, 2 hours left. So make sure to check that out, guys. And remember, next week, we're going to try very hard for you. 4 years in the making, G&D, hopefully goes video next Sunday, guys.
That's right. March 6th. Join us for a Ghostman and Demon Hunter show video performance, providing we know what we're doing.
We're back in the ring with the big dogs, slugging it out, everybody. Hey, don't go changing, guys. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
So say good night to the bad guys.